What's happening, guys? Welcome to episode 13 of the Secure D podcast. My name is Matt. I am Secure D, and today my guest is Kickstradamus, which is really exciting. Sal's a good dude and the first person to be on the podcast that I haven't interviewed in person, the first international guest for the podcast, so we're stepping it up a little. And it was really fun to chat to Sal about all things custom. I mean, being in Australia, I don't actually get to talk to too many customizers in person or, you know, outside of anything that isn't like a chat format, you know, on Facebook or something. So it was a really fun chat. We talk about, you know, his love of customizing, you know, basketball themed sneakers. You see a lot of LeBrons and Jordans and stuff from Sal. Also huge runs. So we talk about how he got into customs. You know, the fact that it's become his full-time job, which is really exciting, and you know, the hustle and hard work that goes into being a customizer full-time. So I really hope you guys enjoy this podcast. Make sure you check him out on Instagram at Kickstradamus, and also the same on YouTube. He has some cool videos up for people who want to know some basics and stuff about how to get into customizing. This episode, I don't think it's too technical. We don't really go into like how to custom shoes. It's more of just a fun chat about sneakers that I hope you guys really enjoy. Remember, if you do have any questions for further topics for further episodes, remember to hit us up with the hashtag Secure D Podcast on Twitter, and if we use them in future episodes, we'll give you a shout out. So today's guest once again is Kickstradamus. I hope you guys enjoy it, and until next time. Thanks for doing the podcast, dude.
Yeah, for sure.
The first official international guest, so first time recording on Skype, so hopefully the audio is good. Cheers for taking the time.
Definitely.
All right, so I've done the little intro separately, so we'll just kick it off with the name Kickstradamus. Are you a Nostradamus fan, or like how did you come up with the alias?
It was really just a coincidence, really. I was just trying to come up with a name that was catchy and was kind of cool and had people think about what it would mean, you know? So it just kind of fell together and worked, and I just stuck with it ever since then. Yeah.
Isn't it funny? Like, it's almost impossible to register anything sneaker-related on social media now. Like, it's all gone. Like anything kick or sneaker or anything is like pretty much taken. So yeah, it's an original name, which has worked out pretty well for you.
Yeah, I guess you could say I got pretty lucky. Yeah. I've seen a few people try to use my name with different spellings now, but yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's working though.
No shit. So what got you into customizing, man? Like you've been doing it for quite a few years now, yeah? Like was it like...
I've actually only been doing it for 2 years.
Oh, shit.
Actually, it all customizing sneakers was all an accident, really. I've been drawing since I was about 4 years old.
Yeah.
But, I was, I was out of work for a while, and I was just figuring out what my next move was when my cousin kind of put me into the whole thing. He asked me if I could restore some of his kicks.
So I
did a little bit of research, and when I was doing research is when I came across, you know, a couple different customizers that I never even knew, you know, something like that existed, where people were painting on shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was pretty crazy, but it all came together, and it stuck, and it worked for me.
And now it's your full-time job, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. Yeah. Isn't it nuts when you meet people and they're like, what do you do? And you're like, oh, I paint shoes for a living.
Yeah, they'll look at me like, okay, until they actually see what we do, you know?
It all
sounds like a hobby, so.
Dude, for the longest time, because like I've been doing this for ages, and like I'd be out at a bar or something and people are like, what do you do for a living? And they're like, oh, I'm an accountant. Oh, like, yeah, I work in finance. What do you do? I paint shoes. You get like the weirdest looks, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, in 2 years, you've managed to build a really strong sort of social media audience. I mean, you've probably got 10 times more followers than I do. What do you put that down to? Like, I often have this like thing in my head where
like I speak to someone like Dan, right? Dan's got like 500 or so mosh, if you're in Australia, mosh. He has like 500 and something thousand, right? And I think you're at about 120, 130.
I'm close to 120. I'm at about 116.
Yeah. I'm 13,000. Okay. So I often
do incredible work though.
So. Oh, thank you. I talked to Sabotage and I'm like, hey, Mark, you know, you and me combined, Dan has 25 times more followers than the you and me put together. It's kind of funny how that works. But what do you put that down to, man? Like, do you think, like, because you've done quite a few sneaker cons and stuff like that. Do you think that has helped a lot?
I think any kind of publicity really helps. I mean, sneaker cons have helped, but I think it's a lot of the connections that I've made.
Yeah.
I've been able to put moves in for me, you know, and, you know, just being in Los Angeles is a huge help. I mean, it's one of the biggest markets, you know, even though most of my following is actually on the East Coast, like in New York and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just work really hard and you meet the right people and then you just got to take a lot of chances, you know? So,
yeah. And that seems to be the thing. Like, I mean, I know, the Shoe Surgeon and a few other guys are in LA as well. It seems like the international guys just don't get the audience. And I mean, like Mark, you know, works with Hypebeast and stuff. Like I've done collabs and, you know, toured and stuff, but it seems like the American guys really are able to build their audience fairly rapidly. And I think, you know, maybe your access to, you know, potentially celebrity clients and stuff being in the States helps a lot as well. Cause like being in Australia, like it's really hard to hook those jobs up.
Definitely. Yeah, man. I mean, you know, Mosh being around the New York area and me being around LA, it definitely has helped us, you know. I know Mosh's been customizing for quite some time.
Him and I started talking like in 06 or something on the Soul Collector forums, like way back when there was probably only like 20 people doing this. Yeah, it was a long time ago. Dan used to do like these really cool, well, he still does it sometimes, but he like really character driven customs. And that's why him and I started talking back in the day, because he's probably really recognized now for, you know, colorways and cool airbrush technique and stuff. But back then it was like, he was doing a lot of like portraits and like cool stuff, like, which was probably more of the time back then as well. But, his brushwork's great still.
I tend to stick to the themed custom colorways and theme style shoes. You know, it's just kind of my thing, I guess you could say.
And I think that's how I ran across your stuff originally as well, because it's kind of my approach as well. Like I tend to do more character cinema sort of based customs and design shoes around a customer, design a custom around a character rather than just like put a picture of them on it. And you do a lot of the same sort of approach.
Oh yeah. It's just fun. It lets you, you know, be more creative with your project. And, I can be pretty creative at times and, I like to bring a shoe to life. And sometimes people tend to not like what I do, but as long as the customer's happy, you know, that's how it goes. So
that's, the day you try and make 100% of the market happy is the day that you like, you know, give up, because there's no way that you can make everybody happy. I mean, I love the haters, man. Like at least if people are talking about you, you're doing something.
Of course.
Now you seem to do quite a few big runs of shoes. Like, how do you feel about doing runs as opposed to single customs? Like, I mean, I know for me, cause I do more brush work, big runs sometimes just fry my brain, but you seem to always be punching out like runs of shoes.
It's a challenge. It definitely is a challenge. Even when, you know, they're all the same, you can tend to get bored of the project.
Sure.
It's just finding the right way, you know, finding the correct way to do it in a speedy yet still with a good quality manner, you know, and I mean, the money's good, you know?
Yeah, that's it, right? It's like, oh, well, that upfront payment's fantastic.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it can get grueling at times, especially the more detailed the project is. I mean, I did 25 pairs for SneakerCon New York City last year, and I had to do it within a week and a half.
Dude, Dude, so. I can't tell you. Like, it actually wouldn't be possible. Even if I pumped Red Bull into my veins intravenously, it would not be possible for me to make 25 pairs in, like, 10, 11 days. I have no idea you did that.
Well, it was crazy because in the midst of all that, I was actually – it was probably the busiest month of my life because I had just done another run, and I had done a run for the ball-up team, the biggest street ball team out here in the United States, for players like the Professor and all those guys. And I had to do a certain colorway on 14 pairs of shoes. And I had to change up the design on every single one. And, yeah. Those I had 2 weeks. And then right after I turned those in, I had to do the sneaker con ones. And in the middle of that, I had to fly to Chicago for a competition, come back and then do the sneaker con. 25
pairs. Jesus,
so yeah,
man. Like, yeah, I'd have a mental breakdown. I'd start crying. I'd have to like get interns in. I don't know how I would do it. I think that's maybe a bit of an advantage in working with the airbrush stuff too, though, because like when I do a run and like I do one of my Carnage prints or something, and if it's in a color that isn't black, you know, that takes like three, you know, coats, I could spend a week just painting one print. Like it drives me nuts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, airbrush, you know, once you get a hang of the airbrush, it would speed up your custom work probably 2 to 3 times.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the prep is intense, but at the same time, you'll get done a lot faster. It's something that, you know, I throw classes for the kids to teach them the custom stuff, but I'm starting to throw airbrush classes as well because you know, when I have these classes, the kids want to learn more about airbrush, and I can't cover everything in one class. You know,
oh, of course, So where do you hold your classes?
I've had a couple in New York. I've had a couple here in LA.
Yeah.
I'm actually having another one here in LA, so it's just in different areas. I mean, my last class was in Long Beach, and I had it at the W Hotel.
Yeah.
They actually let me have the venue for the class.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
So it's crazy, you know, it's picking up a lot of steam. It's been very successful. I've been able to teach kids from 7 years old to a couple 35 and up people, you know. So, yeah, it's the custom scene is growing pretty fast.
Isn't it nuts? Like, I mean, for a long time, like, I really don't think anyone other than me and Sabotage were making a living off this full time. Like, I think I felt like there was years where he and I were the only ones that didn't have real jobs outside of this. And now, man, like, I feel like there's 40, 50 guys doing this full time.
Oh yeah. It's crazy. I mean, there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of customers. So, I mean, when some of these customizers get mad and they feel that, you know, you're taking their customer base or whatever, I think it's funny, you know, because there's just so much places to eat out there.
Yeah.
There's so many people, you know what I mean?
Well, dude, a Jordan comes out and they sell, what, 400,000 or 500,000 pairs in an hour. I'm pretty sure there's plenty of people to buy shoes.
Yeah, definitely. And now people are getting kind of tired of these same colorways and these ugly colorways, so it gives us the opportunity to do what we do, you know?
Oh, I agree 100%. And that's the thing, like, I think for me as well, like, I used to get a lot of jobs where I was designing shoes for like 21sts or weddings or whatever. You know, you still get those jobs, but I'm getting more and more jobs now, like you say, where people actually just want to wear something different. Like, you know, they're not just for special occasions or birthdays or whatever. Guys just want, you know, they can get, you know, why pay $900 or $1,000 for something where there's 50, 60,000 pairs when guys can pay us, you know, that or maybe even a little less and get something that no one else in the world has. I think it's a pretty easy sell to those guys.
Of course. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's an easy way to stand out, and it's a lot more respected now than it was in the past when people used to think they were just fakes or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Oh, I lived through that. The struggle was real when that was happening. is there any themes or like customs that you refuse to do? Like, is there jobs that you say no to?
It's funny, man. I've had a few inquiries that I just turned down, and it's not that, you know, I wouldn't want to do them. It's because they've been done before.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's just a very simple, custom that I just don't feel would be worth the time, you know?
Yeah.
Considering the amount of orders that you have and all that, it just has to make sense, and it has to be something that I feel that I'm going to enjoy doing. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
yeah, it's like definitely. For me, like I don't do Red October or Nerf or any of that stuff. And then I also refuse, I don't know about you, but sometimes probably weekly I get emails where it's like, hey, can you make this? And it's like, that's a Mosh custom. No. Yeah, I can make, like, you know, if it's a Batman shoe that he did, I'm like, I can make a Batman shoe, but I don't make the same thing. I feel like sometimes dudes get a picture and then just like shop around to see who's going to make it for the cheapest. And
that's
never going to be me.
I don't like replicating other people's work. It's not satisfying to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
And the thing is, like, you know, part of what we do as well is, I mean, our job is to promote the products that we make. Like, I don't want to spend a couple of days making something if I can't post about it as well, right? Like, I mean, if I make a pair of shoes, I want to promote it as something that I've made. But if I'm ripping someone off, like, there's no social media content for that project.
Yeah, it's not going to look good if you do push that product. So,
yeah. And then they'll find out eventually, and then, yeah, it's not worth the hassle.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the weirdest custom you've got, man? Like, have you ever got something that just, cause I had one, I don't remember if I talked about it. I'll tell you what it is after you answer, but is there something that you've got that's just like, you like, seriously, like you want that? Like,
you know what? Like, because of my imagination and creativity, I feel like those kind of projects that some customizers would kind of be, you know, kind of scared to attempt. I enjoy those. And I have an actual customer. His name's Darren, and he's become a really good friend of mine. You know, he's been a customer of mine through the ups and the downs, because they are always ups and downs in the custom game. But he's been with me from the very beginning, and he's given me the most crazy, like, oddball custom themes, and they've actually been some of the most loved customs that I've done. Like the Simpson Nines that I did.
I remember those.
I made him the Steve Urkel fours that I did a long time ago. I also did the Bebop and Rocksteadies that I just did.
Don't worry, I'm getting to those. Those are gonna be. I got a question about those specifically, actually, later.
I'm also doing What the Mario. So. On some command forces, so on some command forces, one side's gonna be the old generation Mario, and the second side is gonna be the new generation Mario. So those are gonna be really fun.
No, I agree. Like, out of the box is great. I think the things that I hate is like the proverbial 10 pounds of shit in a 5 pound bag. Like, when people just give you like way too much. Like, I remember this one person once wanted a samurai, a sunset, and then her name in graffiti, her husband's name in graffiti, and then, like, just all this other stuff. And I was just like, wait, on a woman's size 6 Air Force One? Like, like there's no way. Like, that order I've always remembered. And then the weirdest order I ever got, I don't know if I mentioned it on this podcast or not, so I'll tell you what it is. It was I got approached by a porn company. Yeah, and like when I started customizing, I'm 29. I was like 18, and I was painting in my bedroom at my parents' house, and I might have been 19 or 20. And this porn company sends me an email, and I won't go into too graphic detail because I don't want to get an explicit on this, but they basically wanted the swoosh to be like penetrating the. Well, you get the idea. And I was just like, there's no way I can paint this in my bedroom of my parents' house. Like, now if I got that job today as like a 29-year-old adult with a different sense of humor, I'd probably be like, that's pretty damn funny, I might just do that. But it's definitely the weirdest order I ever got.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I was like, how do you even think of that? Like, how does that even like pop into your head as okay? Like,
yeah, that is crazy, man. I'm actually doing another run. Like, since you're telling me about runs, I'm actually doing a 20 pair run for Slim Jim.
Oh no, so, shit! Are you gonna do Macho Man? Any Macho Man reference?
You know what? They wanted a more simplistic kind of approach to the packaging.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm doing 10 Air Force Ones and 10 Air Max 90s.
Oh, dope.
And they're going to give 10 pairs to 10 contest winners on social media. And the other 10 to their sponsored, media or whoever it is.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's a pretty cool project that I'm looking forward to finishing.
Yeah, right. It's I'm an old school wrestling fan. I actually have an episode of this podcast from probably a couple of months back that's dedicated to like wrestling references only. it's like super niche episode. Like it's sneakers and wrestling only. That's Snap Into a Slim Jim. We don't have Slim Jims in America, man. The only reason I know what they are is in Australia. Sorry, the only reason I know what they are is because of those Macho Man ads.
Oh wow! Yeah, so you guys don't have you guys have beef jerky out there, but you don't have Slim Jim.
Well, we don't really eat beef jerky either.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Like that's. I mean, you can kind of get it in like health food aisles sometimes and stuff, but like I've never eaten it in my life. I don't think I know anyone that's eaten it. We don't really get it down here.
Wow.
Oh, dude, don't even, like, we could do a whole podcast about the differences in our shopping centers. Like, I can't believe the first supermarket or, like, market I went into in America, you guys have, like, 50 flavors of Pringles. That thing, like, it blew my mind. We have, like, five. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, dude, I walked in, I'm like, there is aisles of junk food in this country I have never seen before. I was just punishing junk food when I was in the States because like it's all things like I had Baby Ruths because we don't have them in Australia and I remember the Goonies chunk like Baby Ruth. So I'm like straight away like so I just spent 2 months eating shitty food.
Wow.
But Slim Jims, yeah, no, we don't have them. I'm sure there's probably some boutique store somewhere that has them, but I've never seen them.
That's crazy.
But yeah, it's funny, isn't it? The runs are the thing that make the job livable, I think, like, you know, because the hustle of pair to pair to pair can be pretty hard.
You gotta be able to get that constant flow of emails with people that actually, you know, have the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do
such
things. So, yeah.
Or do you do a mock-up prepayment? Because I do a mock-up prepayment. Like if someone's like, oh, I want to, you know, Captain America, Air Force One, I'll be like, all right, you know, what do you want? And then, like, I'll do the design. I reckon 40% of the time they just, like, drop out.
Yeah, I actually don't.
Yeah. I fucking just stop to.
I don't do mock-ups. I just, I just tell them, you know. It's gotten to the point where they just trust my artistic creativity, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of better that way because that's when my juices start flowing. Like when I have the shoe in front of me and I start prepping, then I already starting to put ideas in my head. But if I had to sit down, I wouldn't even have time to sit down and actually mock it up and all that stuff. You know what I mean? So yeah, definitely.
That's my late night thing. I try and stop painting at about 10 PM and then till midnight, I'm usually on the desktop with my like multiple screens. So I feel like I'm in the Matrix and I'm doing all my graphic design stuff. So I do mock-ups for the complicated stuff for approval, but not all the time. Like it's not necessary. Much like you, it sounds like I can kind of just look at a shoe and know what I want to do in my head. I really should stop doing that. Sometimes I feel like they take my Photoshop and just go and get someone else to make it for cheaper. Now talk to me a little bit about the process of customizing something like a LeBron 11 or 12. Like I've always been pretty hesitant because I brush, and I think I see you do a lot of basketball stuff, which obviously means that it's wearable, and I'm old school, right? So I'm like leather. So tell me a little bit about I guess people would crack it at me if I didn't ask any technical questions in this podcast. So a little bit about the process of getting the paint to bond to, you know, like the hype of, you know, all the sort of, obscure synthetic materials that are on something like a LeBron or a Kobe.
It all depends. I mean, there's some of the shoes have mesh and, you know, synthetic uppers. So
yeah,
it kind of works different hand in hand. But you definitely, you know, you have to make sure the surface is clean. I mean, usually my customers' shoes are dead stock.
Yeah,
but you gotta make sure they're clean, and then you gotta have a nice can of adhesion promoter, you know.
Yeah.
So you can spray the shoe. I like to spray the shoe maybe 3 times around.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, let it dry and then spray it again. Let it dry, spray it again. And once it's fully dry, then once you start to apply the paint on there, and then I use a heat gun to, you know, heat set it on there.
Yeah.
It sticks pretty well, you know, but a lot of the kids, they think that, you know, one layer and they're good to go, but that's not how painting works. So,
yeah. And do you seal it as well with a, like a spray varnish or a matte varnish or something over the top?
I will. Depending on, you know, the actual material and where it's placed.
Yeah.
I mean, when they're playing basketball, I mean, they're scratching up the shoes and stuff. So you got to make sure that, you know, you're covering those areas. But there's always other areas that aren't really creasing or anything, so you could be careful with, you know. But
yeah, that's the thing. Like when people play basketball in customs and stuff, I tell them, like, you fuck up normal shoes when you play basketball. Don't expect your customs to be any different. I mean, if some guy that weighs, you know, 200 pounds stomps on you, like, he's scratching your shoe no matter what kind of shoe it is.
Oh, yeah, and that's what every customer should know just coming into this. No matter what you do, it's paint.
Exactly. So,
you scratch the shit out of the shoe, it's gonna come off. You know
what
I mean?
My standard thing is always just walk like you're wearing art on your feet. Just be conscious of what you're doing, and it'll be fine.
Yep, definitely. I mean, I've been fortunate to have some customers that you know, they just want to put it in a glass case.
Yeah.
So when they say that, then they're like, I'm not gonna wear them. I want them in a glass case. So I want you to go all out, and I want you to apply whatever you do. Whatever you have, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So do the midsole, do the outsole, like whatever.
Yeah, do everything. It's just going in a glass case is display. So yeah. Those are the fun ones.
Yeah, yeah. Those are the dream jobs. Like, I ain't going to get in trouble on this one.
Yeah.
It's funny. Like, so I've seen you guys talk about adhesion promoters before, and domestically, we don't have the one that you guys tend to use. Is it New Color or something? New Color?
There's that. There's actually one called Bulldog.
Yeah.
Which is actually really good. So I tend to use that. Then there's SEM. And that one's pretty good. I just tend to stick to that and Bulldog.
Yeah.
Out here.
Yeah.
And it's done pretty good for me, you know. It's just very strong, so you got to make sure you use it outside.
Oh, yeah. I feel the same way when I'm acetoning shoes. I joke that, like, I'm far less intelligent than I was at the age of like 18, pretty much entirely due to my use of acetone painting shoes.
Oh yeah. It's pretty bad.
So Bulldog, I don't think is available in Australia, but I've tried to buy it in online, but they have issues with shipping aerosol, which makes sense. So I bought this stuff, which they use for car dashboards, called Dupla Color, which is okay. But I think we've got to try and find this Bulldog stuff down here. And then, yeah, the 3 coats is a good tip for people too. Cause I think that's the other thing, right? Like kids, like they just want to rush in. Like when I do classes and stuff as well, or I talk to people about it, I'm always like, you know, it's 60% like making sure the shoe's going to be prepped well. Otherwise, what's the point of painting it? Right. Like, I mean, if it's going to just flake off and chip off straight away, like you're kind of doing yourself a disservice. No matter how excited you are, you're wasting time.
Yep. Exactly.
So what are your like biggest inspirations when it comes to customizing? I know you do a lot of like themed stuff like me. So do you enjoy more working on stuff that's nostalgic or like, you know, character pop art based? Like, do you have a favorite area to work in?
Really anything that allows me to use my drawing skills, really, you know, when it comes down to it. I enjoy doing, you know, the themed character customs and finding new ways to kind of integrate the actual theme into the shoe. But, I really enjoy those. I mean, the simple colorways I don't feel like it really defines my art or the way I work, you know? So I tend to stay away from those. Really. Yeah. So.
What kind of environment do you create for yourself? Like, I used to listen to a ton of Mozart when I painted. I think because I used to watch A Clockwork Orange too much, but now I kind of just watch basketball and docos and stuff. Like, do you have to shut peripheral stuff off? Are you real strict with how you work?
I mean, when I work around the TV, I'm really not even watching it.
Yeah.
So, I tend to like put music on, you know, I listen to some, a little bit of hip hop, more R&B. It just kind of soothes my brain, you know, while I'm doing it. I can't really listen to hip hop nonstop while I'm doing it because it'll drive me crazy. But
yeah, like next thing you know, I'm just rapping Tribe Called Quest lyrics and I'm forgetting about painting. And yeah,
yeah, pretty much. So
yeah, it makes sense. Like my friends joke that like I only ever watch 5 movies, and I'm like, that's because like I don't have to watch them, right? Like because I've never watched Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad. And they're like, why don't you watch that shit? And I'm like, because I have to watch the television to watch that, right? Like, I have shit on all the time that I've seen because I can play it in my head while I'm working. I don't have to engage with it visually.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm way behind on everything television-related because when you're a self-employed customizer, you don't have time to watch television.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, you've also recently been using some stencils that I've seen, which I thought was an interesting concept. Can you tell us a little bit about the stencils and like maybe a bit about the company that make them?
Oh, yeah. I'm sponsored by Overspray Collection, and it's pretty much a new company that's based on, you know, helping out kids, and not just kids, but us known customizers, to kind of speed up the process and just make sure that, you know, our work remains crisp. And they pretty much cater to all the markets, not just customizers, but graffiti and all that stuff. But
yeah,
it's been hitting big in the sneaker market because of, you know, how big it's growing. And they pretty much have these shield stencils, which are reusable stencils. It's a thicker material than paper and it's flexible.
Yeah,
and you could use it while airbrushing. So you know, I tend to use the Galaxy one a lot because it has a cloudy effect and it has stars. Yep. But they have different ones, and then they also do custom vinyl sticker decals and
pencils,
which allow these kids that, you know, they can't really, don't feel they're artistic enough to draw it freehand.
Yeah,
they kind of would have the, you know, the base, and they'll have the freedom of and peace of mind that they're able to produce a product they really want to push, you know. So
yeah,
it's a really good company, and it's only growing from here, you know. And I feel like it's something great for the custom scene.
Yeah, I think those are, yeah, especially being able to, because they have like a cement print I saw and stuff as well. So I think things like that really do save a lot of people time. And then I use custom cut stencils a bit, just for things like particular circles, right? Like particularly circles. Like I did Jurassic Park shoes recently, and I got the logo cut as a stencil because I was like, there's no way I can do this entire thing. Maybe it takes 10 hours to do freehand, but I mean, I can nut it out in an hour with stencils. So I mean, financially speaking, it's just a good move for the artist as well.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, man. You know, and a lot of kids, you know, especially in my classes, I would see them get discouraged because, you know, they're new to the game, and you know, since they're not artistic, they're kind of discouraged by every other big customizer. And I just tell them, you know, use the tools around you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Use the tools that are at your disposal, and, you know, just enjoy yourself and don't worry about what everybody else says. Just keep pushing.
Yeah. I forgot to ask you, like, do you come from like a graffiti background? Did you airbrush background? Like, how did you, like, I know you mentioned a few times you draw. Did you study art or anything?
I only had art classes in high school, but I never really went to art school or anything. I was never in the graffiti scene, even though I grew up downtown LA.
Yeah.
I actually used to draw my own cartoons, my own little comic books and stuff, you know, growing up. But, yeah, I mean, pretty much just a lot of practice, man. I just kept drawing. I just loved it.
Yeah,
you know, since a kid, so it all worked out.
So are you into comic books as well?
I was into comic books. Yeah, I mean, I actually still am. I just don't have time to read comic books like that.
You got the movies now, anyway, man. We got the movies. It's fine.
Oh yeah, there's so many coming out. So,
is there any because I'm a comic book nerd. Is there any particularly that you're pumped about?
Actually, I do want to watch the Ant-Man that just came out, so.
I heard it's actually really good, which is because, you know, all the words on production were that it was, you know, like looking bad and the directors kept changing and like all this stuff. But
yeah, and people that aren't deep into comics wouldn't even know who the hell Ant-Man was. Yeah. So,
isn't it funny? Like, Ant-Man, like growing up reading comic books, like, you always felt like there was always Superman on TV, there was always Batman on TV. Like, I never thought there'd be an Ant-Man movie.
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen big ants on TV or like sit in a movie since like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that?
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Batman vs. Superman. I think that looks sick. And then like I always like the villains too. The fact that like Thanos and Apocalypse, you know, and stuff are turning up on screen is crazy for me. Yeah. I'd love to do a Thanos shoe, actually. I think that's a super good idea.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, on the topic of comic books, I've done a few Ninja Turtle shoes, and you did do Bebop and Rocksteady, which you referenced earlier, and I do have a note here to ask you about. Now, you do quite a few additions to those, right? So like the horn and stuff, and then from memory, heel tabs and stuff as well. What material do you use? Like, is it like Magic Sculpt or Super Sculpey? And then how does that hold up to wear? Does that hold up pretty well?
Yeah, you know, I do sculpt when it comes to it, like the Ninja Turtle ones. Back then that I did the shell on the back of the threes.
Yeah, that's right. And.
And yeah, I mean, they hold up as long as you take care of them, you know? Yeah. It's just a matter of how, you know, and then the hard part is shipping them back to the customer, you know?
Oh, yeah, because so, they probably don't fit in the box, huh?
Yeah, I mean, with the Ninja Turtle ones, I actually had them shipped back so I could fix them because through the shipment, they didn't treat the box very nicely, and it actually cracked one of the shells. So it's I learned that you have to bubble wrap the products, you know, bubble wrap them nicely, and then put you know, some cardboard in between the boxes, so if they do get shaky, nothing moves.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's pretty awesome. That's like I said, for one of my craziest customers who likes the crazy themes.
Yeah,
he will be wearing them. But a lot of the times when I do stuff like that, they're usually not worn. So I'm doing some crazy Italian mob fours.
Oh wow!
Those are for a really good friend of mine in New York, and those are actually going to be in the glass case. So there's going to be a lot of additions to those.
Well, I just picked up a job doing Godfather sixes, so we could have like an Italian mob sneaker battle.
That'd be awesome. Oh yeah,
it's actually doing my head in. Actually, I watched it recently, and I kind of wanted to do the whole design around of Vito Corleone's death, and I was going to paint like tomatoes all over the shoe, and he's like, nah. I'm like, come on, it's kind of funny. Like, you know, what else am I going to do? Guns and shit? Like, kind of funny just to have, like, the duster and a couple of tomatoes. But I thought it was... Now, when doing runs and stuff, I guess I'm getting quite a few runs at the moment, and sometimes the hardest part is getting the base shoes. Like especially because everyone wants Jordans these days and they're so hard to get. Have you developed like relationships with stores and stuff that like just through customizing and stuff that help you get sort of your base product, or do you sometimes base your orders around designing on product that you know will be available from like a Foot Locker or eBay or something?
I rarely ever have to like provide the base shoe.
Oh, handy. Yeah.
A lot of the times I'll just be like, you know, you need this shoe to provide, or what shoes do you have and what do you want to work with?
Yeah.
It's very rare that I have to supply the shoe, and if I do, that's where their eyes, you know, open up and they get scared, and it's like, that's too much. Well, then, you know.
Well, that's it, right? Because like people are like, oh yeah, I want to use a Mars 4, and I'm like, well, that shoe alone is going to cost you $350. You know what I mean? Like, so yep. To start with, you've got a $400 charge on shipping and shoes before we even paint it. And yeah, I agree. That's when people freak out.
Yeah, so it's kind of common sense if they really thought about it before they ask. But
come on, mate, you get emails every day. You know, common sense doesn't happen.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
get some strange things. Do you have any customizers that are like personal favorites of yours, or whose work that you sort of look to as sort of inspirational, or like, do you have guys whose work that you're particularly a fan of? Like, it doesn't have to be inspirational, but guys that you follow.
Well, when I first started looking at the custom stuff, I actually came across your stuff and Mosh stuff, and there was another guy, I can't remember his name, but he would only do Vans. And,
I don't remember who that was. I think I know who you're talking about, though.
Yeah, and he only did Vans, and I don't think he does it anymore. But, it was you three that I actually saw. And I think it was Mosh's Iron Man LeBrons he did for LeBron.
Oh, yeah, they were crazy, yeah.
Yeah, I think when I seen those, I was like, wow, I think I could do that. You know,
I think Dan picked up something like 50,000 Instagram followers that day because LeBron posted about him on Insta as well. It's thank you for mentioning me too. That's nice. I feel like I set you up to have to do that, but
I definitely did look. I mean, like I said, like you do themes and stuff, and that's something that, you know, when I saw it, kind of made me feel like maybe I could do something like that. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's kind of,
yeah. Oh, that's cool, man. Like, cause yeah, I was definitely the only one doing that stuff for a while. Oh, there was a couple like A2C, and there was a few guys back in like 09, 08 that were doing stuff like that. But, yeah. I remember, so I used to do a lot of like ripoffs, right? Like when I started in like 06, 07, and I actually, I went and met Sabotage in Singapore, and, Mark said to me, he goes, Matt, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, I'm studying finance and IT. I don't want to do that. And he goes, if you want to design shoes, you got to do original shit, because if Nike want to do, you know, whatever, like a Ninja Turtle shoe, and you're painting pictures of Ninja Turtles, like they're just going to go to the guys that painted the Ninja, like that drew the Ninja Turtles. I'm like, yeah, that's a very good point. So I was doing all these like Spawn shoes and stuff. And so I was actually painting pictures of like Redeemer and stuff on the shoe. He's like, yeah, you got to stop that shit. And that's where I came up with the idea of doing it the way that we do, where it's character based, but it's using original patterns, original designs, original, you know, colorways and stuff, where you actually build an audience based on the fact that you do original artwork, right? So it's themed, but it's original artwork. And I think that's how me and Mark managed to get collabs, because there isn't many customizers that have got collabs. And I think it's pretty much, I think the only reason I might have got one is because I followed his advice. And it's cool that you mentioned the themes and stuff, because for like 2 years, I was painting shit and not getting any orders because no one wanted it. Like no one, like it wasn't popular. Like people didn't want, you know, a Jordan 4 like Spawn shoe that didn't have a picture of Spawn on it. But now it's finally like people can see like, oh, you know, we get that artist's take on the character. Like, I think it's cool.
Yeah.
So
I can see where he was coming from on that one.
Yeah, man. And like, let's be honest, no one's more successful than Mark. So I think the guy's got more collabs than any other, like every customizer ever put together. So.
Oh yeah. It's nuts.
Yeah, yeah, super good dude too, like just a real, real nice guy. Yeah, he's like my big brother that I never had. So.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I met him in Chicago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I met him, I met Dank, I met JBF, and I also met El Cappy in Chicago.
So. Oh, Cappy's the only guy I haven't spoken to. Is he a good dude?
Oh yeah, he's a cool dude, man. He's different, but he's super cool, man. Definitely.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, I think like at the top, we kind of all know each other, but maybe don't like chat all the time. Like, sometimes when like I get hit up for a project and I ask who else is involved, and they're like, oh, da 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 da, and then I like say hi to all those guys. But Eric's someone I've never crossed paths with. But most of the old school guys I know, Dank's doing some killer stuff. So every now and then I just send him a Facebook message. I'm like, you know, I hate recons, but I just made a lot of people angry. I hate replicas, but like, you know, your MX1 De La Soul looks ridiculous. Like he's someone that always seems to do the replica justice.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And those Tech Challenge Buscemi's he did were retarded. They were ridiculous.
Oh yeah, those are amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And then when it came to themes and stuff, Did I have something else to say then? Oh, I don't remember. Anyway, so what are you working on today? You've shown me something, but I don't know if I can mention it.
I'm actually finishing up the Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy.
Nice.
Jordan 1s.
Yeah,
that. And then, just detailing and finalizing a couple other pairs that are just, waiting to get shipped out.
Yeah.
So.
What fanboy ordered Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy together? That's like the ultimate nerd wet dream.
Oh, man. Yeah, this guy just came up to me while I was doing because what I was doing before, it's been crazy because I've had customers that have been, waiting for a long time. And it's partly due to, a couple things that I had to deal with, away from painting. And
sure.
And that's what I want a lot of customers and potential clients to understand is we do have personal lives,
Oh, yeah.
Things come up, but it's not that we're trying to scam them or anything. I mean, I think I'm way past that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But, things come up and you got to take care of your responsibilities as well. And as long as you keep communication with these people, I mean, you'll be fine.
And that's the thing, right? I tell people as well, you've got 120,000 followers. I'm like, I've been doing this for 10 years. If I scammed people, I wouldn't still be in business.
Exactly.
So, yeah, no, I still get that a bit. You want upfront payment? And I'm like, yeah, well, plumbers don't work for free. Like, why should I? Like,
exactly.
All right. Well, I got to ask you before we end it, because we're right around our target time. Do you still pick up a lot of shoes? Like, do you still buy a lot of shoes? And if so, what sort of stuff have you picked up recently? It's sort of something I ask everyone before we end the podcast.
It's crazy. I mean, I've actually stopped buying so many shoes. Before I started customizing, I was actually broke for a little while, which is crazy. So it's kind of like a crazy story. But that's when I started getting a lot of shoes. I was being given a lot of shoes. I was buying a lot of shoes because I had the income to do what I wanted to do,
Yeah. And
at this point, I'm kind of over like the Jordans and stuff. Only shoe that I've really been actually purchasing is the Kyrie one.
Oh, so, yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only one that I actually have like six pairs of those. So
we claim him as ours, Kyrie. So
yeah, his shoes were definitely comfortable, and I like the different approach that they took with it.
Yeah, you wear them casually.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. They're very comfortable. I do wear them a ball too. So
yeah. All right, sick. Well, thank you again for doing the podcast. I'm sure we will end up getting some follow-up questions in the future, and maybe we'll get together again and do another one and give some people a little bit more technical information, because I'm sure people will just be like, why didn't you teach me how to do customs on this podcast? It's like, well, that's not what this is about. There's a million videos there, but actually, on the video thing, you got a YouTube channel where you have some walkthroughs and stuff too, right?
Oh, yeah. My YouTube channel, Kickstradamus TV, where I'm gonna be hitting that a little bit more often now. I mean, I had to like catch up on a few orders, but I'm gonna be doing a few more tutorials on there for a lot of people trying to learn. I have some much anticipated ones coming up soon. So yeah, definitely.
Awesome. All right, what I'll do is I will link that in the blog post, so people who listen to this can quickly hyperlink over to it and check out the videos as well. Thank you again for doing the podcast, man, and I will speak to you soon.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds good, man. I look forward to it, Matt.
All right, cheers.
Back to you, bro.